Hi, I'm Chelsea, the Christian nutritionist. Welcome to the Christian Health Club podcast. We are here to fire you up in spirit, mind, and body so that you can get out into the world and be everything God created you to be. Welcome to the club. Here we go. Hello, my friend. Welcome back to the club. How are you today? I am doing so well because we've been having some really beautiful weather here in Texas, and it makes me so happy that spring is almost officially here. And it's why I wanted to do this podcast, because it is the perfect time to start thinking about your sun protocol so that you can get your body prepped and ready to soak in the sunlight and get all of the incredible benefits, but without burning and doing damage to your skin. This is called building your solar callus, and it's how we strategically train our bodies to better tolerate sun exposure so that we can optimize our health. Because despite all the scary warnings you hear to avoid the sun at all costs, that advice will put your health and keep your health in the toilet. If you completely avoid the sun, always wear sunglasses and spray chemical sunscreen all over your body all the time, you are blocking one of the most powerful ways God designed our body to be well. The sun needs to be considered an essential nutrient for the body. And as with any essential nutrient, a deficiency leads to illness and disease. The problem is we have had fear instilled into us the same way we've had fear put into us about meat and fats and salt, all of which, I might add, are helpful in giving us important nutrients that decrease our chances of burning in the sun. Same with cholesterol. We've been told cholesterol is bad, when in fact, we can't live without cholesterol. Our brains can't function without it. We can't make hormones without it. We can't make vitamin D without it. And yet, statins are prescribed like candy. Now, as always, I will remind you that I am not a doctor, but I do have the good sense the Lord gave me, and I do question when the quote-unquote experts try to disconnect us from his provision and distort the truth about the way he made our bodies. And that's why we're here, right? To keep God and his word as our compass for health and to understand the way he designed our body to be well. And that includes sunshine, my friend. Beautiful, beautiful sunshine. Now, I know a lot of you are like, but I burn in 2 seconds. Or there is skin cancer in my family. And I understand that. And it's real. And if I'd had my face or my head or any part of my body hacked into to get skin cancer out, like my uncle recently has had, I'd be extremely wary too. The thing is, most people do not properly set their body up for success when interacting with the sun, which will in fact increase risk of skin cancer. But the thing is, skin cancer is on the rise, despite the fact that sunscreen is a $10 billion industry and more people are using sunscreen. Okay, so what's up with that? Also, in case you're worried about the ozone layer, because this came to mind when I was thinking about this, I was like, somebody's going to ask me about the ozone layer. You don't have to worry about that because it has been closing for years, thank the Lord. And it's no longer this, you know, big freak out threat we thought it was back in the 1980s. Now, when I try to get perspective around things like sun exposure, I always think of questions like, did Jesus wear sunscreen? No. Did our great-great-grandparents wear sunscreen? No. Did they wear sunglasses? No. Did they wear special UV protective clothing? No. Did they have vitamin D supplementation? No. Did our ancestors spend a lot more time outside under the sun than we do? Yes. Did they get discrete sun exposure all throughout the day and year that helped protect them and condition their body to tolerate sun exposure? Yes. Did they cover up with clothing to help keep them protected? Yes. Did their clothing fully block out the sun rays? No. Did they eat a bunch of processed food that made them more prone to burning? No. Did they sit inside all day and all week long under artificial light and then go to the lake over the weekend and fry themselves silly? No. Always good to get a little perspective, right? God would not make something that our body requires for good health and then make us completely intolerable to it. Now, of course, the dose certainly makes the poison, but no dose is as poisonous as an overdose. And we are not talking like you need hours and hours in the sun, not at all. But if you think about it, some people aren't even spending a cumulative 30 minutes a day outside. And that's crazy when you think about it. That may be you. I mean, think about the context of your entire day, all the hours you're awake, and less than 30 minutes of it spent outside in nature. This is a real health problem. So that's why we want to talk about this and talk about being intentional in a way that your body can utilize sunshine well. Okay? Obviously, some people are genetically prone to tolerate less sun than others. There's something called a Fitzpatrick scale that classifies people according to skin type. At one end, you have your type one, and that's your very, very pale skin, blonde, red hair, freckly people. And at the other end is type six with deeply pigmented dark skin. And then you've got your range in between of skin type based on someone's melanin, and that will determine how much sun they can handle. So melanin is a substance that produces pigmentation in the skin, the eyes, and the hair. And it helps us protect the skin from cell damage and influences how quickly we burn or don't burn. Now listen to this, because this is huge and something we're going to talk about today. The sunlight we get through our eye and on our skin helps signal the body to build up melanin to help protect us from burning. But what do? In modern times, we block that signal with sunglasses and sunscreen. And that's just one example of the disconnect that makes us more prone to sunburn and damage. I am not saying there is never a time to wear sunglasses or sunscreen. We're going to talk about this more today, but I want you to think about only using those things when you really, really need them. Okay? That's why we're talking about this here. We just need some education and understanding around it. In the School of Christian Health and Nutrition, we spend an entire month teaching the way our body works in relation to light, because it is one of our most powerful God-given healing tools. In fact, the very first book on our required reading list is called The Healing Power of the Sun, and it is an eye-opener. Incidentally, if you would like to see what's on our required and recommended reading list for the school, I'll put a link in the show notes for you. That book is so counter to all that we hear about the sun and how detrimental it is to you. There is an entire other side to the story, as usual, and studies that show how detrimental it is not to get sufficient sun exposure. And if you just search for it online, you'll find lots of information on this. In one article in the National Library of Medicine, it says, although excessive sun exposure is an established risk factor for cutaneous malignant melanoma, continued high sun exposure was linked with increased survival rates in patients with early stage melanoma in a study reported by Marianne Berwick, a professor at the University of New Mexico, in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. Hollick also points out that most melanomas occur on the least sun-exposed areas of the body, and that occupational exposure to sunlight actually reduced melanoma risk in a study reported in the June 2003 Journal of Investigative Dermatology. Okay, and you can find all kinds of things like that. And I like the way that is worded, occupational exposure to sunlight. Because yeah, we need to treat getting sun exposure like a job that pays benefits for our health. This is something that we talk about and work on consistently, weaving into our health habits in the Christian Health Club. In case you're wondering about the difference between the School of Christian Health and Nutrition and the Christian Health Club, the school is a 10-month program where we teach and train individuals to become Christian health practitioners with this really cutting-edge holistic education, but rooted in biblical principles. It's really so cool. And then the Christian Health Club is my lifetime membership client group. And that's where we all come together and we learn, and we also apply these habits. We put them into daily practice in our lives, which, you know, our health habits are an ongoing practice that need attention. And so the Christian Health Club is where we do that. We, you know, be intentional about it. It's kind of like putting the podcast into action. Everything you learn about here is the things that we're working on. And the Genesis prescription specifically is when we really talk about all the ways that God made our body work in relation to creation. I feel like the luckiest gal on the planet to have these two ways to work with and teach people more about the way God made us to be healthy. And you can find more info both about the school and the club on my website at thechristiannutritionist.com. And by the way, registration is open right now for the school. It only opens a few times a year, but it is open right now. We are going to be starting class in April. So if you are interested, check it out. And the Christian Health Club is open for ongoing enrollment and registration. So you can come join us there anytime. Now, like I said, getting the healing benefits of sunshine is something we have to intentionally step out and receive. And we can most definitely maximize the way that we do that with some simple strategies. So no matter what time of the year you might be listening to this, so we're going into spring here when I'm recording it, but no matter what time of the year it is, where you are in the planet, we're going to talk about things you can apply right now. Even if it's still too cold for you to get sun on your skin, or even if it's the dead of summer and the sun is already at its strongest point of the year, there are things you can and need to be doing right now to support your body's sun intake to help avoid sun damage. So let's talk about this. And let's start with scripture and this verse from Ecclesiastes 1:5, which says, "The sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again." So the first thing that we want to understand about the sun is that from the time that it comes into the atmosphere, from the time that it rises to the time that it sets, the light is constantly changing. It is never static. There is always a variety and varying ratios of light present. So the light enters the atmosphere in the Roy G. Biv rainbow order that we learned as children, and then it exits in the reverse order. So it comes in red, which includes infrared. So we've got our red and then orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, and then ultraviolet A and ultraviolet B. Okay. And then it all comes in and it peaks in the middle of the day at solar noon when the sun is at its strongest and highest part of the day. And then it leaves in the reverse order. So UVB goes out, then UVA and indigo, blue, green, etc. There are always multiple light frequencies occurring together in different amounts and ratios. So there's never just one color happening at a time. And even though we don't consciously see or perceive that, our body does, because we have light receptors in our eyes and in our skin specifically designed to pick up these cues. Your body knows what time of the day it is and which body systems to fire off depending on what light frequencies are present. This is called our circadian rhythm. And the more we stay inside or block the light signals through sunglasses and sunscreen when we're outside, the less our body gets the correct signaling. We call this having disorder or chaos in the body. And when there is disorder, there is disease. Our God is the God of order, not chaos. And He created the sun to establish order. Genesis 1:14 says, "Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be seasons to mark the seasons, days, and years." Okay, imagine if the sun didn't rise one day. There would be complete chaos in the world. And that's what it's like in the body when we don't get the sun to mark time and run our circadian rhythm. So the first order of light, which I mentioned, is red and infrared, which are present all day. That's important to know. They are the first to enter the atmosphere and the last to leave. And this light makes up about 40 to 50% of the light spectrum. So a significant portion of it. It's like your steady eddy of the day. It's always there. It's always present. And then you have the other colors coming in and out alongside it. So this is important on many levels. One is that in nature, red is always present with blue light. Okay, and that is one of the major problems of the blue light that we are exposed to inside, from LED light bulbs, TV, computer, phone screens, all of that. It doesn't have the red to counterbalance and buffer the blue light like it does outside. And why that matters is because blue light tells our body to make cortisol. So when we're outside, blue light is only present during the day, peaks around noon, and has the red light in significant ratio along with it. So this signals our body to make cortisol in reasonable amounts. But when we're inside and we get all that just straight blue light with no red light to buffer it, it basically tells our body that it's noon and to make cortisol. So like even if it's 9 o'clock at night and we're looking at our screens, it's like, oh, it's noon, make cortisol. I know we've talked about that here quite a bit in past episodes. I will always keep talking about it. And it's why I'm a fan of blue light blocking glasses. And might I add that the studies that they do about light causing cancer are done with artificial indoor lights. Okay, that doesn't have the same kind of light blend that is outside in nature. They have to do these studies in a controlled type environment. You know, it's not like they're like, hey, go lay out by the pool for 2 hours and come on back and then we're going to check you out, right? These studies are done in labs with artificial light, and these bulbs do not have the same blend and ratios of the light as real light the way God made it. So that's really important to know. It's not comparing apples to apples. So, you know, like a tanning bed is going to give you concentrated UV light that is stronger than the sun because it doesn't have these other light frequencies like the red to help buffer it. It's just not natural. And listen, I spent a lot of time in the sun and tanning beds when I was in high school. I am embarrassed to admit that my best friend and I were turned away from a tanning salon for being too tan. Can you imagine? They wouldn't let us tan. And that's like unheard of because the tanning salons back in the late, you know, 80s and early 90s were kind of sketch. Not very integrally discerning, if you will. I know I did a lot of damage to my skin back then, and that's completely opposite of what I'm talking about today. I did have a good solar callus, but I way overdid it, and that is not what we want to do. But we do want to build a healthy solar callus and get some light during the day, and that starts with red and infrared light. So to give you a roadmap of where we're going here, what we want to do to build a solar callus is work from the outside in. So we want to work from sunrise and sunset when the light is less intense on the eyes and the skin toward the middle part of the day when the light is most intense and when we get our strong UVA and UVB signals. See, most people jump out in the middle and the strongest part of the day like I used to do as a teenager covered in baby oil. Like, oh, it's noon, let me go outside and get all my sun. And not like warm up the body first with less intense light. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. We want to warm our body up with less intense light, like earlier in the morning and closer to sunset when that light is not super intense and it's a little, it's less intense, a little softer. It's kind of like, you know, doing a workout and doing a proper warm up and stretch first. When we don't, if we just jump into an intense like HIIT workout, like that's a recipe for injury, right? Same thing with our sun exposure and our skin and our body. So we warm up our bodies with red and infrared light exposure as much as possible. The more you can get morning or evening red and infrared light on your skin throughout the year, I'm not just talking about like one day, like in, you know, one day, but every day is helpful. The more you can do it when the weather permits, the better. Because red and infrared light are good for you on so many levels. And this is one of the reasons red and infrared light therapy has become so popular. The skin benefits alone include things like smoothing skin tone and building collagen, reducing wrinkles, repairing sun damage, fading scars and stretch marks, and promoting skin cell renewal. Now, again, this is, you know, with reasonable sun exposure. If you did what I did in high school, you are going to create sun damage and degrade your collagen and do all these, you know, do some harm. But with this responsible sun exposure, it's actually good for your skin. Another book on our required reading list in the School of Health and Christian Health and Nutrition is called The Ultimate Guide to Red Light Therapy by Ari Witten. And so, you know, you've probably heard about light panels being very helpful, and we can buy those. I have light panels. I'm a huge fan. I have red and infrared light panels, but we can also go outside, you know, early in the morning and close to sunset and get these wonderful light rays for free. without having the intense sunlight, you know, right at midday. So I, people don't think about this, right? They're like, why is it important for me to get sun on my skin early in the morning or at sunset? Because we're just thinking about tans and we're just thinking about vitamin D. But every light frequency in one way or the other is beneficial for you. One of the ways that red and infrared light are so important is that they help support mitochondrial function. Remember that mitochondria are the energy factories in our bodies. They're what make ATP, make energy. The energy runs our entire body. And so when our mitochondria work better, we work better just overall. And so a major key to helping build your sun tolerance is to condition your skin with red and infrared light in the morning or evening before or after UVA and UVB are really strong in the middle of the day. Okay. Now you could use light panels at any time of the day because they obviously don't have that UV light, but we can get outside and do this naturally in the less intense morning and evening light and allow this nourishing red and infrared light to touch as much of our skin as possible. I understand that most people are working during the day and don't have the luxury to just go outside at any time, which is why the light panels can be so helpful. And, you know, if you think about it, all of these biohacky products that we, you know, have on the market now, like light panels and blue blocking glasses and EMF shields, are really just a response to the biological need we have to mitigate our modern lifestyle and all these technologies that didn't used to exist. You know, we need something to help bridge this disconnect that we have now between us and nature. Whereas humans used to spend the majority of their time outside, now we spend majority of our time inside. And this has real biological implications that we are just now beginning to realize, or rather is just now being brought to light. No pun intended. But the research is there. The real threat to our health is that we spend way too much time indoors, disconnected from God's creation and his healing provision. Not getting enough real light and getting too much artificial light is like eating too much processed food and not getting enough real food. You know, everybody just sits inside on screens and mows down chips all day. No wonder we're all so unhealthy. So this is why we need to be intentional about changing it. So as we are warming up our skin, you know, with this kind of natural red light exposure in the morning and the evening when the light is softer, we're also warming up our eyes. We want to allow our eyes to adjust and tolerate sun exposure too. So many people habitually put on their sunglasses even when it's not necessary. I used to do that. I'd grab my sunglasses to go on my morning walk even though it was like 8 o'clock in the morning and, you know, not even that intense. Now I rarely wear my sunglasses at all and only when it's really, really necessary. I rely on hats as much as possible because they still allow the sun signal to get into your eye, unlike glasses, which block most of it out. Incidentally, you can be sitting in the shade and still get sun signals into your eye and brain. Now, not on your skin. You do need to be in the direct light to get the benefits of that. But sun frequencies in the atmosphere can still reach your brain through your eye, even if you're sitting in the shade. So that's cool, right? And, you know, please don't wear sunglasses in the shade. I see a lot of people do that when it's completely unnecessary. They're just not thinking about it. It's not, you know, it's not that they couldn't tolerate the light sitting in the shade. It's just they came in from the sun and they're sitting in the shade and they just keep their sunglasses on. So I want you to be thinking about this and remove your sunglasses when you can. Now, what's interesting, because I know a lot of people are like, I can't tolerate the sun without my sunglasses. And I get that. But a lot of it is because we're so in the habit of wearing them. But the other thing is that people who have very poor light tolerance often have adrenal insufficiency. So this is interesting that the ability of the pupil to constrict in the presence of direct light is partially under the influence of the adrenal glands. And so those with poor adrenal function do have a higher tendency to need sunglasses. But one of the best things that you can do to help support your adrenals is to regulate cortisol, which can be done how? By getting sunlight, especially sunrise sunlight, and blocking blue light at night so that your adrenal glands can take a break from producing cortisol. Because remember, blue light is the signal to make cortisol. And when you're sitting inside, looking at your screen and it's telling you to make cortisol at an unnatural time of the day, your adrenal glands are like, woo, I'm tired. We just overwork our adrenal glands and they're trying to crank out cortisol when they're not supposed to be. So if you are a person who feels very sensitive to light and it's hard for you to go without sunglasses, you know, consider these suggestions and just, you know, start adjusting and doing the best you can. Now, one of the major reasons that we want to be able to tolerate light through the eye to build our solar callus, because this is, you know, this is not something that we typically connect, but I alluded to it at the beginning of the podcast, is that the UVA light that we get in our eye gives us important signals that can help influence us not to burn as quickly. Okay, one of the signals that we get is to produce melanin. Okay, that what we talked about, that skin coloring pigment. It helps protect us from cell damage, influences how quickly we burn or don't burn. So the UVA light that we get into our eye helps our skin not to burn. Isn't that crazy? But again, what are most of us doing? Wearing sunglasses that block the signal from happening. This is key for you to understand. Without proper melanin signaling from UVA light in our eye, we will burn more easily. Now, there are a few other things that UVA light does to help protect us from burning. It signals something called uricanic acid, which acts like a natural UV filter for our skin. It also provokes what's known as a erythema response. This is a histamine reaction that causes the pinkening of the skin that precedes a sunburn. So this is important to know. The erythema response is not a sunburn. It's like the red flag before the sunburn. It's just a slight pinkening that serves as our warning to cover up or go sit in the shade before it develops into a sunburn and causes damage. Isn't that so cool? God made our bodies so incredibly smart. Okay, now listen to this. UVA light into our eye also helps us make serotonin, which helps put us in a good mood and boosts our memory and our learning. Okay, a lack of serotonin can lead to anxiety, reduced focus, and depression. So morning UVA light gives us this boost of this feel-good chemical to make us feel happy and focused as we start our day. But not only that, serotonin is an important precursor to making melatonin, which is our sleep hormone. This is another critical piece of the circadian rhythm process that you need to understand. Even though melatonin doesn't fully switch on until after sunset at night, it's the morning UVA light that plays a key role in helping us to build and make it. We need that serotonin to turn into melatonin. We release it at night, but we make it and restock it during the day. So sleep and mood are highly influenced by UVA light. And the best time to signal these pathways is right when UVA enters the atmosphere. That early, early UVA light, it's called UVA rise when it comes into the atmosphere. And it happens about an hour or so after sunrise. Let me tell you, the most impactful times of the day to get sun are at these transition times, especially sunrise, UVA rise, and sunset. When your eye perceives the transition, it's like somebody waving a flag or ringing a bell. It's like, it's time, it's time. It's giving a definitive signal. Now, you will always hear me say that getting outside at any time of the day to get sunlight is helpful and to always do the best you can. But if you can get out for UVA rise and spend about 10 to 20 minutes outside, that is an amazing input for your body. That's usually about the time I am taking my walk in the morning. If you have time flexibility and that is something you can do to get outside during UVA rise, I highly recommend it. It's going to help you sleep better and it's going to help your mood. We could all use that, right? Okay, there's another really cool pathway triggered by UVA light that turns an amino acid called phenylalanine, I can never say that right, into tyrosine. Okay, so phenylalanine into tyrosine, and from there, it becomes various compounds. And this is the pathway that triggers the melanin we talked about earlier, but it can also become other things. It's kind of the precursor to becoming other things like dopamine, thyroxine, and epinephrine and norepinephrine. Now, I'm sure you've heard of dopamine. That's our pleasure neurotransmitter, helps us, you know, feel pleasure, influences how we think and plan and focus and learn. Have you ever noticed how happy you feel after being outside, how calming and rejuvenating it is? So much of that is related to these brain hormones that it boosts, like serotonin and dopamine. So this UVA light naturally helps improve your mood and your sleep. You know, if we could just start with sun and not pills, how much better would that be for humanity? Okay, so this UVA pathway also helps trigger thyroxine, also known as T4. Hello, thyroid hormone. We need T4 to make T3, which is the active thyroid hormone we use in our body. Who knew the sun was important in your thyroid health? There are so many things to consider when it comes to your thyroid. In last week's podcast, we talked about mineral ratios, you know, when we had Nicole on. When calcium and potassium are out of balance, this can block the way your thyroid hormones work. I need to do another thyroid podcast with all these things that we need to consider when it comes to our thyroid. But this is one. The sun helps optimize these thyroid pathways, okay? Another important part of this production pathway, the phenylalanine, tyrosine production pathway, is how our body makes epinephrine and norepinephrine, which are adrenaline hormones involved in our flight or fight response, memory, attention, and glucose regulation, sugar regulation, the way your body uses or does not use sugar properly. All of these things are important. Isn't it just amazing? All of that happens when you get that beautiful morning sunlight into your eye. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes 11:7, which says, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun." Okay, I want to quickly circle back to melatonin because there are several ways we make melatonin. Most of us think of it in the context we just discussed, which is in the brain, you know, specifically in our pineal gland, which is influenced by light through the eye. Okay, UVA is important for building it, and sunset light is important for signaling it to release from our pineal gland. But it doesn't fully release until we are in total darkness, okay, which is why protecting your light environment at night is important. This is the melatonin that not only acts as our sleep hormone, but is also the antioxidant that helps us do deep cleaning of our body while we sleep. Nighttime is the time we detox and repair, and we need melatonin to go to sleep and to help detoxify our body. Okay, but what's neat is that we also make melatonin in our cells. This is called subcellular melatonin. And this is the melatonin that does light cleaning for us throughout the day. So we've got our melatonin at night that does our deep cleaning and our subcellular melatonin during the day that does our kind of picking up and light housekeeping for us. And do you know what boosts subcellular melatonin? Near infrared light on the skin. So that's pretty cool, right? God has got all of our bases covered. He's got our deep cleaners coming in at night, and he's got our daytime light housekeeping coming in to do some basic tidying and clean up, okay? And so the more that we make this subcellular melatonin during the day, which near-infrared light really helps, the more that this basic tidying gets done, right? We're kind of keeping everything cleaner during the day so that our nighttime melatonin has less work that it has to do. It's kind of like when you're better about picking up your house, you know, throughout the day and during the week, so that when you are ready to do your deep cleaning, all that stuff's out of the way and you can just really go straight to the deep cleaning. Whereas if you just let everything pile up and everything's cluttered, you have so much to do before you can actually get to your deep cleaning. That's kind of the same principles we're talking about here. When we're making good subcellular melatonin, we're getting a lot of that light cleaning done so that our melatonin at night can really focus on the deeper detoxifying and repair and cleaning up our body. But let me tell you something else that's really cool to put this in context. So remember how I said that red and infrared are present the entire day, okay, right? So when we're getting sunlight from this stronger midday light, like from UVA and UVB rays, which do potentially, can cause some damage. That's just kind of part of the process. Anytime, y'all, that we make energy, that our mitochondria makes energy, we are producing what's known as free radicals. We are creating a little bit of damage. That's normal. But one of the things that helps clean it up is our subcellular melatonin, our light cleaning crew. And so while we're out there getting those strong UVA and UVB rays in the middle of the day, we're also getting that infrared light to help stimulate that subcellular melatonin, which is helping doing cleanup at the same time. Does that make sense? I think that is just so neat. All right. Okay. So now we've finally made it to midday. We've built up our solar callus by getting our early morning, early evening, infrared and red light. We've gotten our early UVA light. And now we're going to talk about moving towards the middle of our day and getting UVB light, which is the strongest during the day, middle of the day, and the best time to make vitamin D. And if we've warmed up our body with all of these other light frequencies on a regular basis, we should be able to tolerate the 15 to 20 minutes of UVB light that we need to make vitamin D, which is the way God designed us to get this critically important hormone. It is the primary and best way to get vitamin D. And this is how we know we're meant to get sunlight, really. We can get a little bit of vitamin D through food, like 10 to 20%, not much. It's certainly not the same way we get it from the sun. And we can supplement with it too, but neither one of those match in quality or amount to the way we make it through the sun. There is just, hands down, there's not even a close comparison, like not even on the same planet, okay? And the thing is, one thing we want to think about is over-supplementing with vitamin D, and especially in the winter, this is a circadian mismatch. In the same way we give our bodies mixed signals when we wear sunglasses and the light coming in through our eyes doesn't match what's coming in through our skin, okay, right? Because when we wear sunglasses, it's like, oh, there's very little light. But when it's coming in our skin, it's like full-on light. But also, we have this mismatch when we're supplementing with tons of vitamin D in the wintertime, but outside there's not enough UVB light to make vitamin D. Okay, so believe me, our skin notices this. Our body is taking note. I covered this in a podcast called Winter Metabolic Strategies, which is in episode 231, and how melatonin is meant to be our winter vitamin D. Okay, and so I'm not going to rehash all of that today. But just know that we are meant to build up our vitamin D in the months when UVB light is strong. That is the natural way this is supposed to happen. And UVB light is strong in the late spring, summer, and early fall, which is why we're talking about this right now. The UVB index needs to be at least a 5 to make meaningful vitamin D. The stronger it is, the less time you have to stay out in the sun and the more efficiently you make it. Okay. But as we're building our solar callus, it's a great idea to get out in the less intense UVB light to get your body used to it. Okay. So if you're going out and like outside and it's UVB 3, the index is at a 3 or 2, I mean, you'd really have to sit out like the entire day to get any vitamin D, and ain't nobody got no time for that. We've already had some high enough UVB days in Texas. We had some in February, and I took some midday sun breaks. I took my work outside. I sat outside of my swimsuit for 20 minutes or so. No sunglasses. I did have a hat on, and I just soaked up the sun. And again, I know that many of you can't pop outside in your swimsuit on a Wednesday because you're at the office, and that would not be practical nor acceptable. But again, do the best you can, do so when you can. Any amount of sun exposure throughout the day is helpful, and it's why we want to be super intentional about fitting it in our schedule when we do have the opportunity. But what you don't want to do is take your tender winter skin outside for the first time in high UVB light and try to get your vitamin D without having built up your solar callus. That is when we have a problem. There is a great app called D-Minder that helps you figure out how long you need to stay outside to make sufficient vitamin D based on your location and based on your, you know, certain personal details like your skin type and such, kind of based on your melanin and stuff like that. I also like the circadian app, which tells you when those important transitions are happening, like sunrise and UVA rise and sunset. And it also tells you when UVB is out too. So I love those two apps. Definitely recommend downloading those. They're free. D-Minder and Circadian. Okay. Woo. We're getting kind of long on time here, but there's a few other things that I want to mention before we go. One is that UVB light is not only good for making vitamin D, but has also been shown to help diversify our microbiome, which means it acts like a natural probiotic. So it's another great reason to get UVB on your skin, especially your tummy area. And I forgot to mention earlier that UVA on your skin is great for stimulating nitric oxide, which increases blood flow in the vessels and helps naturally lower blood pressure. And there are a ton of people on blood pressure meds. So this is something that can be helpful. But listen, if you are on blood pressure meds and you're spending a lot of time outside, you better be wary of that. Just be mindful of that, because if the sun can naturally help lower your blood pressure and you're on blood pressure lowering medications, you need to consider that. All right. And what's cool about nitric oxide is that it helps enhance blood flow all over the body. In fact, Viagra, the drug that helps men better achieve an erection, works by enhancing nitric oxide for better blood flow. Okay, so you might want to tell your husbands to get outside. This also works for our lady gardens too. Just saying. All right, one last thing I think it's important to mention before we go is that we can minimize sunburn by eating a low inflammatory real foods diet. So I always like to give people this picture. Foods that cause us fire on the inside. So what's fire on the inside? Inflammation. Foods that cause us inflammation on the inside, fire on the inside, make us more susceptible to catching fire on the outside or getting a sunburn. And the worst foods for igniting sunburn are vegetable oils, excess sugar, and processed foods. But when we eat photoprotective foods like healthy fats and organ meats and colorful produce, that helps protect our bodies from burning and sun damage. So many people experience increased sun tolerance just through better dietary choices. This is huge. And we also need to make sure we're getting plenty of water. Woo! Okay, that was a lot. I feel like I could go on and on, and I do go on and on in the school about this when we teach it. But I'm sure your brain has probably had enough by now, a little fried by now, but hopefully we've learned how not to fry our skin by responsibly building our solar callus so that you can get all of the amazing benefits that God intended us to get through sunshine. And if you are interested in learning more about or finding motivation to put these good health habits into practice, I invite you to check out the Christian Health Club and the School of Christian Health and Nutrition. Again, registration is open right now for the school. And so go check that out at thechristiannutritionist.com. Okay, I want to end this verse, this podcast with this verse from Psalm 113:3, which says, "From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Indeed, my friend, the creator of our body made the perfect provision for our body. It is ours to step out and receive, and it is for us to give thanks and praise. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a healthy and blessed week. and I will talk to you soon.
Hi, everyone. Remember that my mom is an awesome nutritionist, but she's not a doctor. The information in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Always talk to your doctor before making changes to your nutrition or exercise program. Thanks for listening. Have a healthy and blessed week.